Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
John chapter 15, verse number 1, reading, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather again tonight. And Lord, help us not to take these moments for granted. Help us to cherish them and enjoy them. Thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing tonight. And just for the time that we've been able to be encouraged with one another's presence. We now ask that you would focus our attention on the word, that you would strengthen us by it, that you would help us to follow after you and to be fruitful, to be fruit-bearing this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to realize that the goal that God has for every one of our lives as believers is that we would indeed bear fruit, that he wants us to be full of fruit, not just a little bit of fruit. He wants us to be full of fruit. No vine dresser or husbandman would plant a vine and desire, you know, I want to just have a nice vine with nice leaves. No, they want fruit. They want it to be fruitful, and they're going to work very, very difficult, very, very particularly on that to make sure that it bears fruit. They're going to do everything that they can. And so God with us is in our lives as believers. The moment we're saved, we're connected into Jesus Christ. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants your life to look like one that is following after Jesus Christ. Now, it's easy to look at our lives and maybe look at somebody else and say, I don't bear fruit like they do, or I'm not bearing the fruit that I'd like to bear. I'm really struggling with this sin, and I don't know what to do about it. But we really need to understand that God, as our vine dresser, as the one, the husbandman, as it says here in verse number 1, is always seeking to cultivate us into fruitfulness. Sometimes people think about God as kind of an ogre, you know, just an angry man waiting to just get after you and to strike you down when you do not have things quite in shape. But the picture here is of a vine dresser, a husbandman that is tenderly cultivating, patiently cultivating the vine to fruitfulness. And when we have that perspective, it allows us to make sure that we're not resisting the work of the husbandman, but that we're inviting it, we're allowing him to work in our lives, even when it is maybe cutting off something that we really prefer, even when he's going against our grain, so to speak. So learning to have communion with the vine, learning to allow the husbandman to have his way in our life is so very important if you and I are going to grow in our Christian life and be fruitful. So the main thing that I really want to get across to you tonight is your father, your vine dresser, your husbandman wants to cultivate fruitfulness in your life. He wants to cultivate fruit bearing in your life. And would you allow him to do that? Would you allow him? Every one of us can grow in our fruitfulness, can't we? Every one of us. So that's not just something for a certain age group. Every single one of us, no matter the age in here, we can all grow in our fruitfulness before the Lord Jesus Christ and as vines on the true vine, as branches on the true vine. So God's going to cultivate us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's notice a few things from this passage of Scripture, some essentials from verses 2 and 3 that I want us to grab a hold of. Notice, first of all, that fruit-bearing is expected. Fruit-bearing is expected. In fact, 8 times in 16 verses here in verses 1 through 16, we find that Jesus references fruit from his followers, from us as branches. He references fruit and fruit-bearing. He says in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That your fruit isn't just a flash in the pan. It's just not an overnight thing, but that your fruit would remain. So that we go from having no fruit, that we go to having more fruit, and then much fruit. That there's to be a progression in our lives. So as we walk with the Lord more and more each day, there should be an increase of fruit or fruitfulness in our spiritual lives. And so I want us to realize, if I am to magnify my Father and exalt the Son, my sole aim must be, I want to bear fruit to His glory. I want to allow my life to be bearing fruit of righteousness so that He is glorified. And the Bible even helps us to see that. Andrew Murray said this, our whole life with all we are and do can be the fruit of the vine. In other words, the outflow of our life, if we're truly in communion with the Savior and allowing God to cultivate us as the husbandman, allowing Him to cultivate our branch, if we're truly in that communion, everything that comes forth from our life will be Christ. Don't you understand that the good that is seen in your life and in mine is ultimately Jesus Christ's good? And the bad that is seen, the off-putting attitude or the unkindness or the criticism, the gossip or the wrong attitude in the heart, that's not Jesus. And so what this world desperately needs from you and me is not more of me and my problems, but it needs the life of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through my veins. And that only happens as we are in communion with our vine and as the husbandman is cultivating us. And so may that be the case. Now notice the kinds of fruit that we can bear. Notice how that we can bear, according to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 22, we can bear fruits of character and conduct. The Bible tells us that the fruits of the Spirit, when God is working in our life, when His Spirit is flowing in our life and allowed to have free reign, allowed to have His will, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. And if you know it, say it with me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. And so God says, I want this type of fruit to be flowing in your lives. You say, it isn't just talking about the fruit of souls. Certainly, fruit of souls is a reality. But the fruit of the Spirit is what makes your life and my life attractive. It's what glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you believe that? Now, Philippians, Paul told the Philippian believers in chapter 1, in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, now notice this, which are by Jesus Christ. Which are by Jesus Christ. For my glory? No, unto the glory and praise of God. His prayer for the Philippian believers is that they would be filled with the character of righteousness, which is only happens by Jesus Christ. And again, the good that comes from my life is a direct result of Jesus Christ and Him being allowed to have His full will and way in my life. So character and conduct are fruit, righteous character and conduct. So if you have somebody that is saying, hey, I'm a believer, but the only fruit that's coming from their lives is something that displeases God. Either you have a believer who is not walking with God and is yielding the fruits of the flesh, or you have somebody who does not know the Lord. But friends, you and I in our lives, we must be very aware, what fruit are we producing in our lives? And we want to be bearing fruit by Jesus Christ unto His glory. Words are fruit. The Bible says on Proverbs 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. They feed many. But fools die for want or lack of wisdom. So the lips, our lips as righteous individuals, the Bible says, ought to feed many. It ought to lift up. It ought to encourage. It ought to nourish. And how easy it is for us to say something in our family, in our workplace, that doesn't honor the Lord and doesn't feed anyone. It doesn't nourish. It's not even like cotton candy. It's not even sweet at the start and then disappears. It is just bad from the get-go. It's like sauerkraut. I'm sorry. I'm not much for sauerkraut. I think it's like rotten cabbage or something like that. But anyway, our words need to be something that edifies. It builds up. And words are fruit. Colossians 4 and verse number 6. Why don't you turn over there with me? And we're going to read this out loud together because we need to remember this on this Sunday night. We need to remember that our words, the way that we speak to one another, they are the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. And if we're constantly struggling with our tongue, we know that something's not right in our communion with the vine. We all got that? We all understand that? Something isn't right with this relationship if I'm always struggling in this relationship. So I need his help with that. And he promises his help. It's his life through us. Colossians 4 and verse number 6. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. With grace. What's grace? God's enablement. Let your speech always be enabled by God. The Bible tells us, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth, but only that which is to the use of edifying. It is to build up, to nourish. So Jesus' life flowing through me changes the way I speak. It changes the way I email. It changes the way I text. It changes the way I greet. It changes the way I pray. It changes the way that I interact with one another. Everything, it changes the way that I go about speaking in my life. Number three, prayer is a fruit. Prayer is a fruit. The Bible says in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, He, Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you realize that when I am modeling Jesus Christ, the same heart that he has right now to make intercession for all of you, to give you the power that you need to live a victorious life and to follow after him, that same intercession that he is daily making on your behalf and mine will become an intercession that you and I also model. That we'll pray for the needs of the saints, and we'll pray for the spiritual well-being, and we'll pray for the strength over sin, the victory over sin, in and among the brethren. Prayer is a fruit, and certainly Christ's life in us will always lead us to prayer. It'll always lead us to communion to the Father. Sometimes it's a matter of praying for somebody like Jesus does rather than dealing with somebody, and he leads us into that. He gives us that wisdom, but prayer is a fruit. And then souls, as we would expect, is a fruit. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse number 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And so there is a fruit that we can produce in the life of other people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus exalted in my life, being clearly seen in my life, is what helps to create that fruit. When Jesus is flowing through my life, when the fruit of the Spirit is there, I'm able to witness to other people, and it's not just, oh yeah, you're another one of those Christians that I've heard about. No, I see what you're saying in your life. I see Jesus in your life. What does John 12 verse 32 say? If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Listen, when Jesus Christ is seen in our life, when his sap is flowing through our veins, so to speak, when his life is flowing through our branch, and we're allowing the husbandman to cultivate us, and he's lifted up and he's seen vividly in our life, it makes a difference in our communication with the lost. Certainly draws people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the kinds of fruit that we bear. But I want us to know the purpose of the fruit we bear. Romans 14 and verse number 7, for none of us live unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. You know, you're not on an island. You and I don't live to ourselves. No man dies to himself. Branches do not consume fruit. Other people do. Have you ever seen a grapevine consume its own fruit? No, other people do. It's meant for others. The purpose of your fruit is to bless others. It's to honor God, to glorify God, but it's to bless others around you. Think about the fruit of love. Think about the fruit of joy. Think about the fruit of temperance, how that blesses those around. Think about the fruit of long-suffering. We live in a day when there is a very, very short fuses in the world. Think about how you stand out when you exemplify long-suffering at the job place or on the road, on the highway. There's not much long-suffering out there, is there? Think about that. Your fruit is to the benefit of others. The fruit you allow Christ to bear in your life blesses others. So think about how many times we as believers get so focused, I gotta win people to the Lord, and I gotta serve the Lord in this way. If we would allow the life of Jesus Christ to flow through us, so much of the work would be accomplished. So much of trying to to win people would already be accomplished. I've been watching your life, and there's something different in your life. What is it? I'd like it. Don't you want that? Boy, I want that. That others would see Jesus in us. And that happens as we're in communion with the vine, as we are allowing his sap to flow through us. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. His life was for others. The purpose of your fruit isn't to credit yourself. Well, I've won 52 people to the Lord. Or I'm the most loving person in this church. Right? It's not for you. It's for others. It's for others. Let's keep our perspective right. God wants us to bear fruit ultimately for his glory, but bear fruit for the good of others around us. And when Christ in you bears the fruit of self-sacrifice, when he bears that humility in us, others are encouraged, they're strengthened, they're edified in the church. You know how much this would affect and how much this affects the life of the church when we are bearing the fruits of righteousness? A whole lot. Makes it a sweet place to be. Makes it a place that you want to come back to. Makes it a place that makes you glad. So fruit bearing is expected. He expects us to bear fruit. These are all things that I've mentioned here tonight that are throughout the pages of the scripture. He expects us to bear the fruit of character and conduct. He expects us to pray. He expects us to bear soul on the fruit of souls. He expects us to have fruit in our lives. But fruit bearing is also encouraged. And here's what I want us to see in verse number 2. I want us to look back there and let's read it out loud together. Verse number 2, chapter 15. Are y'all there? All right, let's read together. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so he wants us to bear fruit. Now, God is very patient. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God just doesn't clobber you one when you step out of line? But God is very patient. The Palestinian vineyards required patient tending. And so the vine dressers would have to work very, very diligently to help these come to a place where they'd be fruitful. In fact, in Palestine, it was understood that it might be up to 3 years before any fruit could be expected. 3 years is a long time. It's a lot of waiting. It's a lot of tending. It's a lot of by faith going out there and working on that vine, expecting that someday it'll bring fruit. Aren't you thankful that God works in our lives? And sometimes I think we want God to work in our lives. Here's a week. Work it all out. Make me like Jesus Christ. We want it all to be done like that. No, God looks at our lives in the period of the whole life. How long did God work in Moses' life to prepare him to lead the people out of Israel? 40 years? How long did it take for Joshua to be prepared to lead the children of Israel after Moses? Many years, probably 40 plus, as he's following along, around in the wilderness, doing the bidding. Remember, he was told, go and be a part of the spying out of the land. Then all these people, as they would not go into the land, they're going to wander in the wilderness 40 years. Remember, Moses got out of whack and he strikes the rock. Remember how that happened? And he lost the chance to go into the promised land. And then Joshua would take his place. And we look at our lives and, God, I just want you to do this and do this now. Give me an answer now. God is tenderly cultivating us into fruitfulness. And sometimes the most fruitful years of our life will not be when we think they will be. They'll be when God has prepared us for that moment. And it might be a few years moment. It might be for a moment in time. There are people that have affected history by just a brief amount of time, for a few days, by something they said, by something they did, let out in, and it was all their life preparing for that one moment. And let's just allow the vine dresser to work in our life. Let's allow him to cultivate in our life. Now, there are two categories of branches. If you're a believer here tonight, you're a branch. You're in Christ. You're connected to the vine. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for his goodness to us in that way. But there's two types of branches. There's two types of believers. There are barren believers, and there are bearing believers. There are barren believers, and there are bearing believers, those that bear fruit. Now, it's a difficult thing when someone is not bearing fruit, when our lives are without fruit, when there's no fruit of the Spirit, there's no prayer, there's no communication, our words don't give life. That's a difficult thing. And God, in verse number 2, God deals with fruitlessness. He deals with the believer who's not bearing. He deals with the barren believer. And so I want us to notice, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He did not call these a branch that's not a part of me. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, beareth not is not producing, it's not bearing. This is a serious thing. To God, fruitlessness in your life or my life is a serious thing. We should not tolerate it. We should not get comfortable with it. We should be very wary of it. We should be very alarmed when we don't see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We need to pray about that. We need to seek the Lord about that. So God deals with fruitlessness. Every branch that doesn't bear it, he's going to take away. And we'll get to that in a moment. But some would take this reference, to non-believers in the church. But I just want us to notice how it says here that every branch in me. Do you see that tonight? I'm not twisting that out of context. He's the vine. We're the branches. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So I don't believe that would be a right application of this or right interpretation. The main purpose of this parable, this illustration, is the fruit bearing of believers, to help believers bear the fruit that they ought to be bearing. John 15 and verse number 5, he says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And so he's talking to believers tonight. Jesus is equating the branches to believers. Now, you have people that are not present in this scenario. It is believed that Judas would not have been present. John 13 and verse number 30 would have gone out during the time of this speech, and this would have been those who had trusted Jesus Christ, those who are following Jesus Christ. So we have those that are branches that are believers. Now, some would also take this to mean that Christians can lose their salvation, that he taketh them away. Remember that we always interpret the unclear passages of Scripture with clear passages of Scripture. That's just a way that you work through Scripture. Now, the Bible tells us, why don't you flip over there, John chapter 10 and verse number 27. John chapter 10 and verse number 27. The Bible says that he that believeth on me shall never perish. John 10 and verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, Jesus talking, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that great? Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Your salvation is settled the moment you place faith in Jesus Christ. Your salvation is settled. He gives to us eternal life. How long is eternal, class? Forever. He gives to us eternal life, and we need to trust him in that. He gives us everlasting life. And so when he says they'll never perish, I believe that God means that. And so I also believe that here this cannot be talking about, and there's many other passages of Scripture, John 3:16, for God, let's say it together, and children, help me out tonight with this, especially, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, all over Scripture, the pages of Scripture, he says, I'm giving you everlasting life, I'm giving you eternal life, you'll never perish. That's a promise. That's a reality. We can trust in that. So whatever it does mean here in John 15 and verse number 2, it does not mean that we can lose our salvation. And so I want us to understand that. I believe here what is being spoken about is that these barren branches are believers who are not living in close relationship with Jesus Christ and therefore are fruitless. Look down at verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do. Now there are believers who are not staying in communion with Jesus Christ. They're not fellowshipping with him. They're estranged from him. Their fellowship is not what it ought to be. 1 John is all about that. So you have believers who are living fruitless life. Have you ever met a believer who has no long-suffering? Have you ever met a believer who has no love? They don't have love for one another as they ought to have. Maybe they lack joy. You can see how easy it is for us to get barren in our Christian lives. And so what does the Heavenly Father, what does the husbandman do for those that are not bearing fruit? He works with them, and specifically here he says, he taketh it away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He taketh away. So what does the vine dresser do with these barren branches? How does he work with them? What is this taking away? The definition of taking away here is the idea of lifting up. It's an active idea. It's something that is a process. It happens in time. And so the husbandman comes along and lifts up, picks up the branch. And it's interesting that vine dressers, as they work with the vines, if they have a vine that's growing along or a branch that's growing along the ground, that branch will get down in the dirt, will get down away from the sun, get tucked away under things, and it won't bear fruit. It'll just kind of sit there, and it'll become very, very barren. And so the husbandman comes along and takes up that branch and pins it to the trellis so that it can get the light, it can get the oxygen and the air, and become fruitful. So in Palestine, the custom was to lift up the branches during the spring to keep them from touching the ground and setting roots. And so here's the picture tonight. For the barren believer, here's what the Heavenly Father does. He comes along and he will pick you up. Now, here's the thing about that. Sometimes we start putting roots down into the thought processes of the world. And we get some bad habits. And we start having some bad company that isn't good for us. And our Heavenly Father will come along and he will lift us up into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift us up into the fresh air of his word. And he'll lift us up, and it might hurt in the process. But I'm telling you, friends, the husbandman knows what he is doing. I don't want to leave that association. I don't want to stop doing that. I was getting pretty comfortable in this place. This felt pretty nice. I wasn't expected to do anything. I wasn't out in the open. I was kind of hiding out on the ground. The husbandman says, no, no. It's interesting. An early author, Pliny the Elder, a pastor, wrote, and I'll read this quote to you tonight. The non-fruiting branches or non-fruit-bearing branches were allowed to grow with full vigor and without the removal of any side growth or leaves, since the more extensive their growth, the greater diameter of their stem where it was connected to the vine, and thus the greater ability for the nutrients to flow from the roots onto the branches, which would produce more fruit by the following season. By removing them from the ground and placing them on the trellis, the rows of plants would benefit from unhindered aeration that was considered an essential element to proper fruit development. To see, take away, as removal or judgment is to contradict the actual practice of the time. And so what he's just pulling in and wrote not long after this would have been written, 79 AD, he's saying the actual practice of the time was to allow them to grow, but then to take them up and put them on the trellis. And the idea was to lift them up. And so Jesus was using something that was present and a part of the modern day husbandry to say, for the fruitless believers, the barren believers, I'm going to take up. I'm going to lift up. I'm not going to remove them. I'm going to remove them from the dirt. I'm going to lift them up from the dirt so that they can grow and be fruitful. Isn't that good? And friends, there's many times that you and I get down in the squalor. Like we get down in the mess of this world. We get buried in it. And it doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do us any good to be constantly fretting, is the world going to come to the end? And what happens with AI if it gets too powerful and all this stuff? And God sometimes has to come along and say, turn that off. Get up on the trellis. Get in the light, the sunshine of Jesus Christ, and start growing again. Start bearing fruit again. And have you noticed that most of the news doesn't help you win souls or have the fruit of righteousness? So I'm not saying we should live oblivious to that, but I am saying this is a positive encouragement from our husbandman that when he sees in your life or in my life that we're not bearing fruit, he lifts us up. Maybe you need to be lifted up this week. Allow the husbandman to do that. Allow him to have that way in your life. Branches that are down on the ground in the world become contaminated. Colossians 2 and verse number 8, Paul warned the Colossian believers, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. How easy it is for us to get spoiled, to go bad, to be barren, to get grumpy, to get full of the things of the world and the philosophies and mentality of this world. And oh, how our Heavenly Father lifts us up, and I praise Him for that. So a healthy Christian will be full of fruit. He will be bearing fruit, and that's what God is working to do in our lives. And so when we're fruitless, what's He going to do? He's going to lift us up. Aren't you thankful for a father like that? He's going to lift you up. Maybe you need to be lifted up, pulled away from the world. Maybe you need to be lifted up and pulled away from some things that aren't right. I want to give us an illustration. Do you remember John, the disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you remember what James and John were called before God had his working in their lives? There were sons of thunder. Where did they get that name, that nickname? Because they were just so even keel. They had a lot of patience with people. Didn't these guys call down fire from heaven? Right? They had a right stand, but they want to axe people. Let's just annihilate them. But you know, later on, he's called the disciple of love. You know, just like John, sometimes we're down in the world, we have the same practices that we had in the old life. We look around us, well, that's the way the world acts. They tell people off. They give them a piece of their mind. And God has to come along and say, no, that's not fruit. That's not right. And he lifts you up. He says, I have a better plan for you. I have some fruitfulness. And don't you rather have the fruit of love being manifested in your life and the lives of others around you than that quick, that sons of thunder type of mentality? Wouldn't you rather that? And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That's what the husbandman wants to do in your life and my life. And so it requires that pulling away. It requires that lifting up. And so God is the one that helps and deals with our fruitlessness. But I want us to also notice in verse number 2-3, I want us to notice that God, the husbandman, develops fruitfulness or fruit bearing. He develops fruitfulness. Notice here, in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Wait a minute. I'm bearing fruit. Leave me alone. No. He looks at you and says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Why? So that it bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. So God's desire isn't just that you bear a nominal amount of fruit. He wants you to bear more fruit. And then he says a little later on, he wants you to bear much fruit. And so he's even not just dealing with those that are fruitless or barren, he's also dealing with those that are bearing so that they can bear more. So his desire is that we'd always be bearing more. Even this week, his goal is more fruit. And so he purgeth it. He purgeth it. What does it mean? It means to prune, to cleanse, to prepare for service. And this is something that sometimes he does over time. Have you ever noticed that God convicts you about something, you take care of it, and then you come to another service or you're reading your Bible and there's something else? Can I ever catch a break? Have you ever thought that? Come on, am I the only one here? Will there ever be an end to this? God is working in your life to bring you to more fruit. And he wants that. He's doing that in my life. And sometimes you don't feel like you're going to get to the end of that. Trust the husbandman. Trust the vine dresser. A couple of weeks ago, we sang a song entitled Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Do you remember that song? We'll sing it before we leave tonight. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do, but brighten the corner where you are. Well, that must have been a wonderful person that wrote that. But actually, those words were written out of a story that was filled with frustration. They were born out of frustration. There was a talented speaker. Her name was Mrs. Ina Ogden. And she was selected to be on the Chautauqua circuit, and she would be able to go out and to speak and really influence people. And this would give her an opportunity to reach thousands around the country with her brilliant oratory. But just before her tour, her father fell sick. He was injured in a serious automobile accident, and Ina felt it necessary to cancel her plans so she could take care of her father, a wise thing to do. So at first, Mrs. Ogden was very much angered about this, and she had resentment against God for allowing this tragedy to happen. Have you ever been there? Something happened in your life, and you felt, why, God, would you allow this to happen in my life? Gradually, however, she determined that she would be happy and that she would remain true to the duties near to her, to the many duties near her. She would do her best to brighten the corner where God had placed her. And Ina completed this poem in 1913, and later that poem was set to some lilting music. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to spread your light afar. And it was set to some lilting music by Charles Gabriel, and it became a popular theme song for the Billy Sunday Crusades. I grew up in the hometown of Billy Sunday, as I mentioned to you, and not only in his campaigns, but Homer Rodehever, he was a trombone player, and there's a hall in our town that's named after Rodehever, Rodehever Auditorium. And anyway, they would have crusades around the country, and they would have the Billy Sunday Tabernacle with on the Sawdust Trail, and they would just preach the gospel. When Billy Sunday came to town, the towns often dried up. And what I mean by that, the liquor stores and the bars shut down because people got saved and they stopped drinking and they started following after Jesus. Even in Chicago, that happened. What an amazing thing. But interestingly, it's amazing how that Mrs. Ogden, as she went through that trial, had no concept that God would one day use, out of her frustration and out of him working and cultivating in her life, used the poem that she wrote to encourage and challenge many to go through their times of disappointment and frustration and remember that they are to be a bright light in that corner. You know, that's just like our God. Many times God will prune something that was very precious to us. For her, it was her oratory. This is how I make my impact on the world. Sometimes God takes something from us to get a hold of us, get a hold of our heart, get us in communion with our Savior, and to re-give it to us later in a more powerful way. You know what? When we're going through that, we don't like it. Not at all. My friend, he was here for Adventure Camp. You remember John Barber. Some of you met him while he was here. For years, he was a fantastic trumpet player. And that was something that he threw his life into. And he tells a story how that he developed a problem in his ear that made it so that he could not play the trumpet because he had begun to find identity in that, and that was pulling him away from God. God took away that gift, so to speak, or his ability to exercise that gift. But you know, once he followed after the Lord and submitted his life to the Lord, later on the Lord allowed him to begin playing again. He did it also with basketball. It happened two times. I think the basketball, he was very good at basketball, and the Lord took that away. He had some health issues, and he began to follow the Lord and then got allured with the trumpet playing and started set his identity there. My point to you is God knows what to prune in your life and in my life to make sure that we're fully focused on him and that we're in communion with our Savior so that we can be fruitful, that we can be bearing fruit. And so God will do that in our life. He will take crutches in our life that we've leaned on, that we've gotten comfortable with, and he says, nope, that crutch is out. Perhaps it's a friend that we've leaned on, and we've allowed them to carry our spirituality rather than finding our security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's other things. He prunes wrong motives in our lives that we serve to make ourselves feel good, and he may take that away or expose those wrong motives so that we can bear more fruit. He prunes pride. He'll always do that. Why? Because it brings us low before him. It pride goes before a fall. And what does he say here in John 15, verse 13, 3? Now you're clean. You're clean. After that pruning, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you know what he desires to do this week in your life and in mine? Take his word and do some pruning. Why? Not to hurt you, but to help you be more fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful. That's his goal for your life. Let's allow the Savior, let's allow the husbandman to have that goal. Let's allow him to have that will in our life. So God will always prune. He will always use his word to prune us for service. And he wants to do that. Ephesians 5 and verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, speaking of the church, which is made up of you and I, with a washing of the water by the word. And that's why it's so important to not only be in the word on a daily basis in your own lives, but to allow the preaching of the word to have entrance into your heart, to listen, and then to put it into practice. Timothy was told to preach the word, be in season and out of season. Allow them to know what the word says. Why? This is what God is using to prune us, to prepare us to be fruitful. So as I said in the beginning, God, the vine dresser, will always be cultivating your life toward fruit bearing. That's what he wants. And I think what we need to say tonight, just in response to this, is, Lord, let it come. If it's lifting up that needs to happen, let it come. If it's some pruning that needs to happen, let it come. But I'm not going to resist the cultivating of the husbandman. And don't you understand, that's a good life to live. That's a life that is going to bless other people around you. And so let's ask the Lord before we leave tonight, let's ask him for help with this in prayer. And so would you bow with me tonight? I know you're grateful that your Heavenly Father doesn't just cut you off when you're not bearing fruit, but he lifts you up. Not for pride's sake, but lifts you up into the sunshine, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the Word. Positions you for fruitfulness in the future. It would be quite a shame if you or I would resist that in any way. And so tonight, I'm inviting us to just places of surrender. Perhaps you know what the Lord's been trying to prune. You've been resisting that. And tonight, it would be really good for you just to say, Lord, I submit. I submit to that. I'll allow you to prune that. I'll allow you to take that away. And why that's so important, friends, there's times where God will bring us into situations where we won't have a choice. He'll pull some things out of our life where we'll not have a choice. Listen to his voice tonight. Allow the husbandmen to cultivate you. Father, thank you for being so patient. Thank you for the picture of this being that you want us to bear fruit. That encourages me because that means that I can trust you to bring me to that place, to position me, to lift me up when I'm barren, to prune what doesn't belong anymore. Lord, I pray that you would give us a sweet spirit of submission to this. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.